You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey, real estate fan, and welcome to Realscape Investing This Week. On the episode today, I'm going to be answering an audience question, and that question is, what's it like to be a female investor and an entrepreneur? And I will admit that I've spent a little bit of time procrastinating on doing this topic just because I feel like it really requires me to go inside of myself, share some stuff, and think about this issue from a perspective that I don't usually do it. So please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fan, welcome to the show today. I'm going to be talking about something that I don't talk about a whole lot. I'm doing a series in the next few weeks that come from questions that people in the audience, listeners, and people who come to our monthly networking events have asked me. I did a call for topics. So if you're listening to this and there's something that you would like to hear me talk about, something that you would like to have some education on, I'm very open to doing shows based on listener questions. And so that is one of the topics that I'm doing today, provided by a regular meetup attender, Victoria. So Victoria, if you're listening to this, shout out to you for giving me this actually really difficult question. This week, I'm going to be talking about my experience as a female entrepreneur and a female real estate investor, what being a woman, how that has changed things for me, how perhaps it's not changed this for me. And it's actually a pretty complex issue when you come to thinking about all the ways in which being a woman at different phases of life really affects our experience and how either we're part of the standard or not the standard and what that ends up meaning for us. Before I jump into the meat of the episode, I do want to just remind you that the purpose of the show is to help you take action and to make smart decisions in your investing and perhaps also your entrepreneurial life. In this case, either if you're a woman, maybe there's something here that you can implement or think about. If you are, on the other hand, a man, you're listening to this and you're supporting or cheering on a female investor or female entrepreneur close to you, maybe this is going to give you a little bit of insight in how she might be experiencing things. And then the goal of the episodes is always to motivate you to take action and to make smart decisions with growing your real estate portfolio out into the future, make smart business decisions. And while we're on the topic of action, I want to invite you to our next real estate networking event in Montreal. So we do those just about once a month. And if you want to check out the next one, you can go to equitybuildersclub.com/events. And you can grab a ticket for the next event using my promo code, which is ML5. So that's Mindful Landlord, my book title, which is available on Amazon, and five for $5 off. So you can use the promo code ML5 to get a reduced price ticket to our next event. We just have one left this year before the end of the year. So please do come and join me, shake my hand, and get to be around other people who are constructively, collaboratively involved in growing their real estate portfolio. And dare I say it, I'm pleased to report that just about half the room is women. So if that's something that is appealing to you, please don't hesitate to come out and join us at our next event. To start the content for the show, I want to just begin by saying that talking about what it's like to be a woman in the real estate field or as a career entrepreneur is just so much more complex than looking at things from the sexism lens. And I think when initially people, you know, ask me this question of what's your experience like as a woman in business, I think that's where your mind goes first. And so then, you know, my mind tracks back to like all the way from when I first started investing. Did I feel like somehow there was a sexism barrier or a glass ceiling or, you know, people who had certain presumptions because I'm, you know, a woman and whatever else? And, you know, I think one of the great things is that we live in a time where I feel like being a woman, really from the perspective of other people, like I haven't really felt a whole lot of sexism in my life or a whole lot of negative opinions that have prevented me from getting ahead, at least certainly not in business. And so, you know, don't forget, I had an athletic life before and concurrently with my business life and in the martial arts and the combat sports. I think if you're ever going to face sexism, that's a great place to face it. But I'm also happy to say that, you know, really in my career, in my life, whether it's academically from a sports perspective or also from a business perspective, I don't feel like sexism has really been a very big challenge in terms of something that I've had to overcome in my life. But I also think that's a kind of a simplistic way in which to look at this issue of what it's really like to be a woman in sports or in business or in investing. The place that I want to start this is by a conversation of what are conventionally considered to be masculine and feminine traits. And I think the fact is that for all of us, we will have our own personal makeup of those traits. And then it just so happens that more typically, women tend to have more feminine traits and men tend to have more masculine traits. And I will like get into what some of these are and how they do or do not predict for success in investing and in business. But, you know, instead of talking about, you know, male and female, like I think before we go too far down that, like you might have a female incarnation, like your body might be physically female, but you might have a bunch of masculine traits, or it might be the opposite, right? You might be, you know, a woman physically, but also have a whole lot of feminine traits. So let's look into this a little bit, and then I'll be able to tell you a little bit how my experience has mapped onto this and how you might be able to either use your feminine traits if you do have them or leverage some of the masculine traits that you do have. So typically on the, if you talk about the big five for personality configurations, like that's a psychological term for people's makeup is the big five personality traits. Some of those traits are more typically held by women and some of them are more typically held by men, which ends up translating into masculine and feminine traits. There's the one of that's agreeableness, okay? And agreeableness will be how assertive you are, how much you're a people pleaser. Somebody who is not very assertive and who's a real people pleaser, who wants everybody around them to feel good all the time, would be high in trait agreeableness. Whereas on the other hand, somebody who's disagreeable is really more interested in being assertive, in getting their way, and also not necessarily too worried about making people unhappy or stepping on their toes in pursuit of whatever thing it is that they're going after. Typically, agreeableness is a trait women express to a higher degree than men, whereas typically men tend to be a bit more disagreeable than women. And so from my personal perspective, it turns out that on the big five personality scale, I'm actually quite disagreeable. And it turns out that being disagreeable is actually a good predictor for success in business and in investing, because it means that you're able to make cool-headed business decisions and not necessarily let that people-pleasing aspect come into your decision-making. Just be aware that something that typically women are a bit higher in agreeableness. And so that can make it difficult for you to make decisions that perhaps might hurt people's feelings or make people feel bad. The other thing is there's something called trait conscientiousness. And conscientiousness is composed of two things. So it's composed of being orderly and being efficient. And it just so happens that women tend to be higher in trait conscientiousness than men, which is why we tend to find a lot of women in managerial and sort of administrative roles, things that involve organizing stuff, because women just are generally speaking more conscientious. They prefer neatness a little bit more. They like to be efficient in organizing themselves. And, you know, very stereotypically, at the risk of being politically incorrect, if I'm hiring an admin assistant, I'm going to look for someone who's extremely high in conscientiousness, and that usually ends up being a woman to a greater degree than it ends up being a man. If you know, are looking at how your character traits might map onto what is correlated with success in business and in investing, conscientiousness is a predictor of success in those fields as well. So you might think about how your personality maps onto trait conscientiousness, being aware that a higher levels of conscientiousness typically is more of a feminine trait. The final thing is really to talk about assertiveness and sort of confidence. Because definitely from a sports background, this is something where women tend to lag behind men in terms of their personality makeup, where very often men will be more assertive, more upfront, more confident in going after what they want. Whereas for women, it's a little bit more difficult. And I will actually share with you some data that was shared with me when I was doing my boxing certification to be a certified boxing instructor. They were talking about the fact that 8 out of 10 young women leaves sports in adolescence because of the way in which we structure our how sports works. It revolves around the fact that when men walk into a sports environment, they tend to be comfortable immediately competing without getting to know anybody. And so that confrontational aspect to how they interact with each other, that competitive aspect, is really not an issue for them right off the bat. Whereas for women, that can be quite intimidating. And this is then related to the fact that there's a lot of women who get out of sports in adolescence. And if you think about this in a business context, it really does make a whole lot of sense, because as business and investing has been almost modeled a little bit more around the masculine comfort zone, in the same way as the gym environment or sports environments tend to be built around what makes men comfortable. Well, I think you just need to be aware that when you're walking into some of those rooms or walking into some of those business interactions, they will be configured for, almost a bit of a more masculine personality. And so it just works out that because I have a more masculine grouping of traits, other than perhaps the conscientiousness aspect, it's never really been an issue for me all through my sports life to be the only woman in the room. And to be fully transparent, when I was playing, ice hockey initially or in combat sports, it would very often happen that in a room full of 20 people, I would be the only female. And that's not something that intimidated me or bothered me, but I think that that's also, I'm aware that I have a very specific kind of personality that is not afraid of confrontation, being a little bit disagreeable, being a bit competitive, all means that like that's not an issue for me. And I am aware, as I began coaching women's sports, that women who have a bit of a different, a more typically feminine personality have an easier time when the environment is configured for them to allow them to build confidence and perhaps have an environment that's a little bit less competitive and a little bit more friendly. Being aware of this allows you to perhaps understand that for your own personality makeup, depending on where you are on this spectrum, be aware that if you have a kind of a more feminine personality, your administrative and conscientiousness skills, as well as the fact of being able to build relationships and perhaps be a bit less confrontational, those are going to be like real feminine superpowers if you're in the business sphere, but that something that you might have to compensate for or kind of learn past, or perhaps that you might have challenges when it comes to assertiveness and perhaps confidence, also like walking into a room and feeling like you're in a competitive environment right away. And so I do believe that while you might not be able to change your basic makeup, you will be able to hack some of that and build some of those skills, at least to be able to perform competently around them. Anecdotally, I can share with you that from my perspective, as somebody who's naturally got a fair amount of trait disagreeableness, I have learned over time that if you let that out too much, you can really burn relationships, and that ends up being counterproductive if you're trying to build a community or if you're trying to have business relationships that function over a long time period. Allowing that disagreeableness animal to come out and perhaps not to privilege the relationships and the collaborativeness is like your results are going to suffer as a consequence of that. And so, in my particular case, I've been able to train my ability to be agreeable and collaborative. Whereas if perhaps I had a different personality makeup where, that competitive, assertiveness aspect were an issue, I would be looking for places in which I could train my confidence and really build it and, feel more comfortable in the situations that call for me to pull that out, because that's what the situation requires. The next thing that I find really funny, about being a woman in investing and as an entrepreneur, is that I feel like as women, we kind of benefit from a lack of pressure and a lack of expectation. And what I will tell you is that I feel, in terms of looking at my male peers, sometimes I can feel a little bit disadvantaged or jealous when it comes to how life positions us. And that's going to be really the next topic of conversation. But when it comes to pressure and expectations, I think one of the nice things about being a woman in investing and in business is that we get to play this game perhaps without that pressure to provide or the pressure to succeed that perhaps a lot of our male peers are suffering from. I think that that's a nice thing. And it has followed me through my sports life as well, that every time I walked into the gym or I would step onto the court, in the days that I was still playing basketball or whatever, the expectation when they see a 5'4" blonde woman step onto the court is that you're not going to be really very good. And sometimes I get the feeling that in investing and in business, that's the similar kind of an expectation, as the bar is set low because there just aren't that many people perhaps that look like us sitting at the table. And so as a result, that can kind of be great because it's disarming. There's nothing like walking in and stepping on the court as an underdog. And I think that the same is true in business and in investing, especially the higher up the food chain you get. And I think that especially in the real estate context, there's a lot of mom and pop female investors. But as you move into the more professional sphere, so people who have larger multifamily portfolios, there are very, very few women sitting at those tables. And that I think what's nice about sometimes being the only woman at that table is that there's no real competitive expectation of you, and you're not activating perhaps that competitive animal in the men who are sitting at that table the same way that they might be activating the competitive edge in each other. So I think that's kind of a nice, or almost like a little bit of an advantage when it comes to being a woman in business. Then I think the last aspect of this has to do with the family trajectory or the life decisions that you make. And I will say that, you know, earlier on in my life when I was unmarried and not a mom, I really felt like my male peers and I were on a level playing field, in the sense that if I chose to work till 9 o'clock at night, if I chose to travel for business, if I chose to do all the things as far as time commitment and personal involvement in stuff, really my male peers and myself were at the same level. And I think then what became the game changer was, getting married and having a family. I don't want to generalize and say that every single woman who has a family is going to feel this way. So, for example, I have, friends who are in lesbian relationships, and some of them end up playing almost a more masculine role in that configuration. And so a lot of that like more feminine labor, so whether it's, you know, making sure that the kid has what they need for lunch, organizing for school, reading the school emails, putting the kids to bed, waking up when the baby's crying, you know, that's all of like a quite a typically feminine role. And I think that if that's the role that you end up taking on when you have children, if you decide to have children, let's not lie to ourselves. That is a part-time job with full-time brain noise that is a drag on whatever you're going to be able to accomplish, whether it's athletically, if you're an athlete, or in business or in real estate investing. Because not only is there a time commitment that goes along with that, if you're in the childbearing age, there's also a physical component to it as you get pregnant and then recover from physically from some of the events of pregnancy and then the aftermath of that. And then there's also the, you know, emotional labor aspect, where I think that, a lot of women end up in the role of mom and wife, being the one who takes on the emotional labor of managing the household. And whether that has to do with knowing exactly what's in the fridge on a particular day, or else having in your mind what your child's sports schedule is and what kind of shoes they need on this day, or what permission slip needs to be signed, that is all mental space that is taken up with that mom and family manager role that a lot of my male colleagues actually have no idea what that mental and emotional load is like. You know, let's also talk about just the time constraints, right? Because it's one thing to be the family and house manager from a logistical perspective, but it's another thing to want to be there emotionally for your kids at some of those times that are strategically important for their development and their well-being. And so if that means that you're getting up that half hour early to make sure that there's a nutritious breakfast prepared, or that you're stopping work at 4:30 or 5 to make sure that your kid's doing their homework, that they're getting to sports on time, that dinner is served, you can't realistically expect that you're going to be able to have the same amount of work output as perhaps your male peers might if they have that built-in support system of a wife or a female partner who is the firewall on that kind of stuff for them. And again, I don't want to make this sound like a one size fits all, or like it's a generalization that applies to every single woman. Certainly not. If you choose to not be married, not have kids, well, maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. But then also depending on how much of a traditional family role you have, because, you know, I do have female colleagues whose husbands maybe don't work, or who have female partners, or who have various different kinds of arrangements at home that mean that they're not the ones who end up shouldering that burden. But if I were to statistically generalize what I think that experience is like, I can definitely anecdotally tell you that I would be able to run a whole lot faster if I did not have this, it's going to sound bad, like a backpack full of rocks that is my family responsibilities that's slowing me down. But I think ultimately it's my belief that to live a full life, having kids, having a family, being married, is something that I personally didn't want to miss. And I, you know, obviously loudly encourage everybody else who's contemplating getting into that kind of arrangement that it is, I think, one of the optimal arrangements for human satisfaction and happiness. And that part of what comes with it for us as women is often extra load and extra responsibility. But then, like, ultimately, what are we doing any of it for? If you ask yourself, why do you want to be financially independent? Why do you want to buy real estate? Why do you want to do anything that you do? Ultimately, it has to do with a life perspective or a life scale of trying to have the best experience, perhaps trying to give your family the best experience that they can have. If, you know, being a great parent is not a part of that, well, it's difficult to understand why you would want to have a family and kids in the first place if that's not one of your motivations behind what you're doing. So I don't know that I can really summarize this or say that there's, you know, a one size fits all answer, but I could not talk about my experience as a female entrepreneur without talking about what the role of being a mother and being a wife, how that affects my business career. Because the fact is that that is just something that prevents me from working as hard as some of my male peers do and being as single focused or making decisions that really only have to do with how my business is working. Because it would be a lie to say that I make my business decisions without considering my family obligations and responsibilities, how I understand them to be. It also is worthwhile considering the season of life that you're in as you're answering this question. Because I think that had you asked me this question as a young woman when I was 30 or 35, you would get a quite a different answer. It just happens that I'm answering this question at a time when I do have, you know, kids at home that still need me. And so that then generates a particular kind of answer. But a point when I'm an empty nester, probably I will have a different answer to this again. So I think that the answer to this question depends on the phase of life that you're in, but I think it can also depend on the type of life choices that you make because it's going to vary depending on what your family circumstances look like. So by way of conclusion, I want to leave you with perhaps some avenues for further reflection, whether it comes to personality traits, however your unique makeup is, whether you are a balance of certain masculine and feminine traits, be aware that some of those traits are going to help you in business and some of them are perhaps going to hinder you. And if you look at your personality makeup and find that you do, I want to say suffer, or you do have some traits that are perhaps less optimal for success in business and investing, do not despair. Because it is possible to hack some of that stuff and begin to learn how you can behave or perform despite or against some of those initial reactions that you might have. It is quite difficult to change some of those basic personality makeups. That's not a kind of a death sentence where it's like, okay, well, you can't be an entrepreneur because you're too agreeable, or you can't be an entrepreneur because you're not conscientious enough. But I think that if you don't learn how to manifest some of those traits, it is going to be a challenge that you will carry through as you want to advance and move forward on an entrepreneurial journey. And my advice would be identify some of those traits and then train yourself to learn how to perform or to have the types of reactions and behaviors that will take you further than perhaps the personality makeup if you were just acting in the most natural way possible. Real estate fan, I hope that this content has been useful for you. I hope that it's, I don't know that I can say it's really necessarily so educational as much as it is really a question of reflecting on this matter and thinking about as you chart your course through life, how you're going to compose with whatever challenges, barriers, or perhaps advantages you get from, being a woman or not being a woman, as the case may be, how you can support some of the women in your life. And if you have found this content to be interesting or relevant, please go ahead and share it with at least one person you think could benefit from it. You can, of course, also make sure that your husband's phone, your kid's phone, your friend's phones are all subscribed to the podcast. That gets the word out to more people. you can leave us a 5-star review, drop a comment on whatever platform you're listening on. I do also love to answer questions from listeners. Like I said, this episode was recorded because I had one of our listeners come and ask me to answer this question on an episode. So that's what I went ahead and did. And let me invite you once again to join me at our next Equity Builders Club networking event in Montreal. To grab a ticket for that, you can head over to equitybuildersclub.com/events. Use my promo code to get $5 off your next ticket. So that's ML5, like my book, Mindful Landlord, 5 for $5 off. So ML5 as the promo code. And I look forward to meeting you at our next networking event. And until then, real estate fan, wishing you a great and profitable week. Talk to you again 1 week from today.